Hey church, Pastor Cody here, and I just want to say thank you for stopping by and joining us in worship today. And while we're super excited that you're hanging out with us for this message, we also want to remind you that this is really just a supplemental resource that cannot and will not replace the local church. So while we're glad that you're here, while we're glad that you're encouraged and challenged and shaped by the word of God that's being preached today, we also want to let you know that this is really just a substitute and in no way should forsake the gathering together of the local church body. We believe that the local church is God's plan A in speaking the gospel. So please come hang out with us here at Rest this Sunday morning with us, or go find another Bible-believing church. Jesus is preparing the church that's close to you. I mean, he's challenged you to get plugged in there. Jesus loves the church, and we love Jesus, and we believe that we can love Jesus better by being locally connected and serving her well. So just jump right in with us, and we're glad you're here. I'm Adam. Welcome to Rest. On your mark, get set, slow. I don't know if you know this or not, but in late July in England coming up is the World Snail Racing Championships. Book your vacation now. I know that's probably not most on your radars around here, but it's really this slow-paced spectacle to behold where these snails of various sizes and speeds compete against one another to slither across a finish line. And the reality is, I know that most of you could probably care less about the snail racing championships, but what you probably do care about is a friendly, healthy, slightly less slimy competition between friends. And so in lieu of that, I need two volunteers this morning to kind of help me with an illustration. And so Pastor Carl, come on up here. And hey, Paul, you come on up here too while you're at it. Let's give it up for our volunteers this morning. I just voluntold them to come up here, so this is way better for us now. And so what you guys are going to do this morning is, Carl, you can stand over here, and Paul, you just stand over here. And what you guys are going to do is you're going to represent for us two groups of people, two totally different groups of people. And Paul, you're going to represent this group of people who live according to the Spirit. And Carl, you're going to represent this group of people, Pastor Carl, who's this group of people who live according to the flesh. Stay there. It's two groups. It's the Spirit and it's the flesh. And to help us remember, if you don't mind, just throw that t-shirt on if you don't mind. We've got Team Flesh and Team Spirit this morning to help us remember. And as they're getting changed, you didn't expect to see this in church this morning, but as they're getting changed, these two groups, both of them, really everything about each one of them, who they are, comes, or what they do comes from who they are. And so it's their mindset that really lays the groundwork for every one of their actions. So you behave like you believe. And that's why the title of our sermon this morning is Mindset Matters. But one key distinction between these two groups is where their mind is actually set. Where their mind is set. And Paul, because your mind is set on the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, what that means is that Jesus has come into you and you exist in him, and the Holy Spirit has come into your life. He's hooked up his jumper cables to your dead battery of a heart. He's made you come to life, and that means he lives inside of you now, and he works with you, alongside of you, to help you live the life like Jesus. That's what it means to live according to the Spirit. And because of that, you have a sense of clarity about the things of this world, about the things of God that your neighbor Carl just doesn't have. And so since the Spirit has given you a sense of clarity, I'm going to need you to put on these, they're 3M, that's the Trinity, the clarity goggles this morning. This is clarity. And so he's in the Spirit. Carl, on the other hand, Carl, he represents those who live according to the flesh. And what that means is that he's not connected to the Holy Spirit, that he is unregenerate. That means that your heart, it's actually hardened, that your eyes are spiritually blinded, that your ears are deaf. And that you think you might see things clearly like your friend Paul does, but the reality is, apart from the Holy Spirit, you just don't. And so what I've got for you are these impairment goggles, and you can put those on. And impairment goggles, by the way, they're used in educational settings a lot of times to bring awareness to drunk driving. So I thought that this would be a good example, because what it does is this distorts his vision, it distorts his judgment, it distorts his perception, because this group over here of people just don't see things the same way that this group does. You don't have to wear them just yet. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to do some really simple exercises. Both of you will just come stand over here. Paul, you stand up here toward the edge of the stage, face this way. Carl, you come stand where I'm standing right now. Cody, do you have those Swarks balls? Thanks, man. Yeah, you can, if we drop some of these, you may play as a backstop for us this morning. So we're going to do something really simple, and I'm just going to toss you this ball, and all I want you to do is catch it. So we'll try this out. Just catch it. Okay, you can toss it back. Good job. All right, let's give you this a try here. Just catch it. Okay, that was pretty good. All right, so God, he tosses you his truth from his word. He says things like, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And someone in the spirit can receive that, and then he'll say something like, you know, he'll say, have no other gods, you know, before me. And you really can't receive that because you don't have the spirit to receive it. Jesus says, hey, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. He says that no one comes to the Father except through the Son. Well, we got that one. So he hung on to that one a little bit. Let's see there. Okay. All right. So you can hang on. Just pull him off for just a second. Now we're not done yet. Here you go, Cody. Yeah, you guys follow me up here for just a minute. Now, Jesus, he talks about what it means to follow him, and he says following him. And, Carl, you can take the goggles off for just a second. I don't want you to fall. We don't have good insurance here. And so Jesus talks about following him. He says it's like this, it's a path, but it's kind of a narrow path in following him. And really to follow Jesus, you have to have a good balance from the Spirit. Otherwise, you're just unable to follow him altogether. So you two guys come over here to me for just a second. What we're going to do now is, you're not necessarily going to walk this path, but you're going to walk along one at a time. And it's a really simple exercise. You're just going to pick the cone up, and then you're going to come back and you're going to place it on this stool in its proper position. Does that make sense? So you don't have to run, but you can make it quick, you know, not asking to sprint through this. And so, Paul, we'll put you up first. And so in just a second, some music's going to start. And you can just take your time and pick those up and be precise about where you put them back, following the Holy Spirit. You got it? All right, church, are you ready? All right. So whenever that music drops, you can go ahead and start. Go ahead. So Paul's operating in the Spirit. It's a picture of peace and life. And you can see how he's following that lead to go along this path that Jesus has laid out for him. This is what it means to live, not just have the heart of, but live according to the Spirit. I got a couple more. That was beautiful. Let's give it up for Paul this morning. You can cut that track. That's actually Silent Night, if you're wondering. And so, Carl, you got the same task, except, you know, your view. Yeah, you have to wear the goggles. That's the whole point of the illustration. And so your job's going to be the same, but it's a little bit different. You might be seeing two or three of these. It's pretty funny when my wife and I tried this in the garage last night. So you do your best to grab these, but Carl, he's operating from the flesh, so he can't receive this path, really, that Jesus laid out short of the Spirit. So whenever the music starts for you, Carl, you can go ahead and start. Right, good. So we're gonna stop there because we don't have all day. We got to preach this morning. But such a great job, you two. Pastor John, would you go in the back and grab those knives for the juggling part? No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's give it up for our volunteers this morning. All right, you guys can have a seat. You know, Pastor, thanks, guys. So, Pastor Carl, he's actually preaching next week, and I'll be sure not to be in here for your intro, brother. But the Apostle Paul this morning in our text, what he's laying out for us is two totally different groups, one who lives in the spirit, one who lives in the flesh. And it's not so much a competition that Paul's laying out as it is a contrast between these two different groups. And so in this section of Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, Paul, he's laying out for us, he's not as concerned with the believer in if sometimes they walk in the flesh or sometimes walk in the spirit, but instead he's talking to us this morning about two totally different groups of people that operate out of two totally different worldviews. And as we've said in Romans chapter 8, there's this theme that runs throughout all of Romans 8, and that it's about the ministry, it's about the work and the person of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. And it started out in verse 1 with there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ because the Spirit has come to give you life in Christ Jesus. And so that was about position, that was about power, that was about identity, that was about security. And then last week, Pastor Cody brought us into verses 3 through 4. And he reminded us this, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And then he said, we can't, that means we can't, but God did. Amen. And so all that's saying is that every one of us, that we all stand condemned before God, that we can't do anything of ourselves to make it right. But what Jesus did is he came and he condemned your sin and his flesh on the cross in order to meet God's standard of perfection in you. And so from verse 4, we're told what it means to be a Christian. That it's those who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. And the only way we're able to do this is that the Holy Spirit comes in. He gives us a new nature. He gives us a new mindset and new desires to follow him. And so everything about us is different now. And we can't on our own, but God did. And that's just some really incredible news. Amen. And so Paul, he has more encouragement in store for us this morning in Romans chapter 8. He's going to talk about the work of God the Holy Spirit in your life. And it's why he contrasts these two different groups. So I'll give you a really quick roadmap for where we're going. It's two groups this morning. Say two. Two groups. It's one who lives in the spirit and one who lives in the flesh. So there's a home team, there's an away team, there's a saint, there's an ain't, there's the saved, there's the lost, there's the believer, there's the unbeliever. Those are the two groups. And there's no transfer portal between the two short of the work of God the Holy Spirit coming in. And so there's two groups. And what we're going to see together from that, from these two groups, that there's two mindsets. And that there's two directions and that there's two dispositions. So it's two groups, two mindsets, two directions, and two dispositions. And the key takeaway we're going to carry along with us this morning, it's actually the title of our sermon, but it's that mindset matters. Your mindset, it matters. And so it matters, church, because it's the lens through which you see the world. Of which your reality is shaped and lived. And as we discover today why it matters so much, I believe it can totally transform your life if you would allow it. So we got to get our minds right. Tell your neighbor real quick. Say, hey, get your mind right. Get your mind right. If you have your Bible, we're going to Romans 8. This is verses 5 through 8. Do you love Jesus? Are you ready to study his word this morning? Amen. These are the words of God through Paul, Romans 8, starting in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please, God. I'll pray for us and we'll keep going. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come this morning and teach us about the words that you've written down. And remind us that you're next to us, that you walk with us, that you don't walk away. And once we're in you, we are in you forever. Thank you for that assurance and confidence. And so we pray that you would just come and teach us this morning and change us, that we'd walk out of this place different than we walked in. I rebuke Satan and demons from this place. In Jesus' good name we pray. Amen. Amen. So starting in verse 5, it says, "For those who live according to the flesh have their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." And as you look at your Bible in Romans chapter 8, the first eight verses, that word Spirit shows up over eight times. And it actually shows up 22 times throughout the course of Romans chapter 8. And every instance that it comes in, except for verse 15 and 16, the S that's in Spirit, it's been capitalized. Look at that. And so what is this capital S Spirit about? This Spirit, it's not talking about school spirit. You might have a lot of love or favor for your team or your squad. Maybe you've been in a game before and heard someone say, "We've got Spirit." Yes, we do. We've got Spirit. How about you, right? That's not what he's talking about. And he's also not talking about the vibe of a room whenever someone walks in and says, "Man, this room, it's got a good spirit to it, that it feels, you know, welcoming or warm or encouraging." That's just a mood. And it's not some general attitude that we might adopt, but instead what it's doing is it's pointing us to the person of God, the Holy Spirit. That's the capitalization. And before we really dig into this text today with our two groups, I want to talk to you for just a brief moment about Him, about God, the Holy Spirit. Because see, before we planted Rest Church some almost 9 years ago now, actually this month, and we'll celebrate that in a couple of weeks. But I've been a Christian for some time, some 14, 15 years, and I had a really clear picture of who God the Father was. And I had a really clear picture of who Jesus the Son was. But I never really acknowledged much of God the Spirit. He knew me, but I really didn't know much of Him. And maybe it's because I didn't really grow up in church, so to speak. And when I did start going, though, I went to a Baptist church. And this isn't a knock on Baptist churches or anything like that. But in my particular experience and that particular tradition, the focus really wasn't set on the person and the work of God, the Holy Spirit. He just wasn't at center stage. Or if he was, I didn't pay much attention to him being there. And so when we planted Rest Church, God, the Holy Spirit began to reveal himself to me through the word. And that's really whenever he became my friend. And I found out that the third person in the Trinity, he wasn't third in terms of rank, but he was third in terms of role, that he is co-equal and co-powerful and co-eternal with God the Father and Jesus the Son, completing the Godhead. And so over the past nine years, I've really discovered what it means that he is my helper, that he is my advocate, and he has come and shown up in my life, and he has comforted me, and he has convicted me, and he has counseled me time and time again, and he has showed himself to be my paraclete, to be the family defense attorney in my life, and he has helped me in times of need, where he's led me to find answers that I've been looking for, and he's encouraged me to keep following him when I faced opposition and following God's will, and he's prompted stuff inside of me that I would have never, ever done out of my own accord. He has transferred, he transformed, he has assured me of my salvation when I have doubted, and he has reminded me of what Jesus says and what the Bible says, and he's revealed these deeper and deeper truths that are hidden in the words that he wrote. And what I'm getting at, church, is that he's moved from God out there somewhere to God in here. And it's just like Jesus said would happen in John 14. He said, "I'll ask the Father, he'll give you another helper to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth," verse 17. And it says that you know him, he dwells with you and will be in you. And I just wanted to share that right up front for a couple of reasons. Number one, I wanted to say thank you. Thank you for giving me the freedom to allow to get to know him better, and for teaching me about the work that he does in my life, because I'll never be the same. And number two, secondarily, because he is the person who empowers the people of God through the Spirit. Don't you dare underestimate the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in your life. Because when the Spirit is present, anything is possible according to his will. And so I pray, if you don't know him, that you would get to know him and allow him to be part of your life today, because he is here to help you. He is here to completely change your life if you would allow him to. That's the capital S of the Holy Spirit. And so moving on, Paul, our speaker in our text, he's going to talk about some of the Spirit's work. And so Paul, he draws this line in the sand between two groups. And it's actually God's line in the sand. Paul's just kind of shining the flashlight in on it. And we'll call them the saints and the ain'ts, since we referred to them in this way before. And the dividing difference, the one explicit contrast between the two groups, is the mindset. And Paul shows us this in every verse, but we'll first look at verse 5 to better understand. It says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." And so these are the two basic natures of the saints and the ain'ts. And the difference is God, the Spirit. See, we all start out on team flesh whenever we're born, because we're born into sin. We're born into Adam's sin. And not only are we sinners by nature, but we're also sinners by choice. So we work in our own sin and add to that list as we go. And so the only way for you to be moved out of being dominated by the flesh into being dominated and animated by the Spirit is that God, the Holy Spirit, come into your life and he do something to change you, to change your nature, that he calls you out from spiritual death into spiritual life. And you go, well, why do I say it like that, calling out of death into life? Well, it's because dead people, they just don't make decisions. And Ephesians 2 talks about it like this. That's my interpretation. You can have your own too. But Ephesians 2 says it like this. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins among we all once lived in the passions of flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. We were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. But God, in mercy, because of the great love he loved us with, even when we were dead, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." And so, church, your mindset, it matters. And it matters because this is your iOS. This is where you operate from. This is your control center. And Paul says you are either spiritually dead or you are spiritually alive through the Holy Spirit. And it affects who you serve. There's a great theologian. Maybe you've heard of him. His name's Bob Dylan. And he said it like this. He said, "It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody." And so let's take a peek in really quick on these two mindsets. He says in verse 5, "For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh." That's the ain'ts. "But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." That's the saints. And Paul, he concentrates in on the mind, or the mindset, as we might say, of these two groups. And it's a continual thing. It's not just a momentary kind of issue. Because the verb, set their minds on, it's present tense. That means this is a habitual lifestyle. This is where you live. And mindset, by the way, it just means to set the mind on someone or something. And so it's a lot deeper though than just what you think about. Because Paul, he's conveying to us, this is who you are. This is who you're intently preoccupied with. It's what you prefer. It's what you enjoy at the deepest levels of who you are. And actually the Greek word that Paul uses for mindset is phroneo. Say phroneo. And that's a verb. It shows up some 20 times in the New Testament. 17 of those times are from Paul's writings. And it means to be in agreement with. It means to share the same understanding as. It's the seat. It's the seat of all of your mental and emotional capacities. And what's interesting about this is that whenever the Greeks, when they would think of this, of set your mind on, they didn't really solely think about the head or the brain. But instead, the word phrane, which the root of is the root of phroneo, it referred to the midriff or the diaphragm. And so we might call this the core of who we are or our heart. And so if we smash all of this together, what it's getting at is when your mindset is set on something or someone, it means that the very core of who you are is in agreement with them. You have the same understanding that they do. And so mindset, it's not just about some belief system that you adhere to, but this is who you are. And the scripture says you are either of the flesh or you are of the spirit. And I think that the Apostle Paul, he might have started out here with set your mind on, because really what you set your mind on, it shapes your whole life, it shapes your whole character, because your living and your thinking, they are tightly, tightly connected. But I need to be clear on this, because this isn't as you think, so you are. No. This is so you are as you think. Everything else is downstream from who you are. And Robert Mounts, he put it like this. He said, people don't think themselves into the way they act, but they act themselves into the way they think. Your identities, your values, your beliefs, they affect what you do. Now, does anybody here remember Big Mouth Billy Bass? Big Mouth Billy Bass. He'll be on the screen. He was one of those animatronic fish, right? And he would sing whenever you pushed his button down, he would sing that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, right? He would sing, and maybe you went to a White Christmas one year and you received him as a gift and you pushed the button and he started singing and you're like, this is the dumbest gift ever. Like, someone really hates me, you know? Well, you can't really get mad at Billy for what Billy did, because Billy was just doing what he was natured to do. Billy was acting in accordance with who he was. Amen. And not always, but often, what we do is a result of who we are. Jesus put it this way in Luke 6, verse 45. For maybe when someone pushes your buttons, he said, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Paul says these are two groups. And if you're here wondering this morning, which camp do I sit in? Do I sit in the kingdom of God, the KOG, or the KO me? You need to just ask yourself, the first place you should look is your mindset. What is the focus on your life? Is it you-centered or is it Christ-centered? Because depending on how you answer that question, it can tell a whole lot about who you are. And so because your mindset, because it controls your life, Paul next shows us that one particular orientation results in death, while another gaze results in life and peace. So these are the two directions or the two destinies of the two groups. Verse 6, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. Or in other words, your mindset, it has both earthly and eternal consequences to it. It has earthly and eternal consequences. And so it sets the pace for you, both right now in your current life and in your future after this life. And these are the only two spiritual states of people, one of spiritual life or one of spiritual death. And I want you to notice there as you look at the text, Paul doesn't say that the mindset on the flesh ends in death, but he says what? He says that it is death. This is death in practice. This is death in your position to who God is. The mind, the core of sinful man, is death. And we all know this to be true, because all of the aspects of death are reflected in lost people. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen any of those Disney, Marvel's, Avenger movies or not. Maybe you've seen some of them. Disney's kind of crazy right now theologically, and I'm not gonna get on that soapbox this morning, you know. But if you have seen those movies, there's this one movie called Avengers of Infinity War, and there's this guy who's on the screen. He's this bad guy, and his name's Thanos, right? And Thanos kind of looks like Grimace from McDonald's on steroids, right? And so in the movie, though, Thanos, what he does is he's trying to bring balance out to the universe by killing half of all of life everywhere and on a global scale. And there's this one point in the movie whenever he snaps his fingers and half of all life just evaporates into this nothingness and people leave. And so it doesn't matter if you've seen that movie or not, but the only reason I share that is because his name actually serves as a really powerful reminder for us of the destructive force that he represents in death. And it's believed that his name actually comes from the Greek word for death, thanatos. Now, a really big difference between what Disney depicts in death and what the Bible talks about death is that this isn't just annihilationism. At the end, you're not just going to evaporate away into nothingness. But the Bible, it teaches us that both saints and ain'ts will have a conscious existence after they die. And so if your mindset is set on the flesh, whenever you die, your eternity is going to be a violently judged and forever separation from the one true God, which is the death of all deaths. And so if you here this morning, you want the formula for how to live a less life, here's the pattern of Thanos. Set your mind on the things of this world, and the inescapable consequence you're going to face is death. Compared to the life that God can offer you. It says, verse 6, the mind that's set on the Spirit is life and peace. The contrast here between death is life and peace. And that's what it looks like when you're controlled, when you live in the Spirit. And it's life on one hand because you are alive to God, which means you are alert to spiritual realities. Like you can catch the truths of God when they're tossed to you. You can walk the path that he's laid out for you to follow. You're alive. You're like the deer in the desert, as Psalm 42 says. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God, the living God. You are thirsty. You are panting toward the things of God because you know that he is the only source of true life in this world. But that's not all. Not just life, you also in the Spirit, you get peace. You get peace. You get fellowship with God. You get shalom with the Godhead, which is just amazing. And the truth is, you cannot have the peace of God until you first have peace with God. You can't have the peace of God until you have peace with God, which is the reconciliation to him. It's an end to that infinity war that you've had with him from the beginning. As the Holy Spirit has created inside of you new desires and new life, and you've been handed a new nature. And Ezekiel chapter 36 foretold this, as it said, I'll give you a new heart and new spirit, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Now, church, let me just ask you for a second, if you're a saint, does this mean that your whole life will be peaceful and life-giving? No. Absolutely not, right? You're going to struggle in this broken world. And you're even going to struggle in your own flesh. But the key here for you is that you're not in the flesh. So that means you don't have to mind the flesh anymore. And yeah, old man Stan from Romans chapter 7, he's still hanging around there with that body of death. But a true Christian, they just won't coexist there because they can't. And so whenever you fall into sin, a comeback in your life, it's as natural a comeback, as natural a reprise as if you dived into the ocean and came back up longing for air to get to the surface, for that breath to rush back in your lungs. It's the same way in a believer's life. And Jesus, he talked about this in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, where he said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, learn from me. I'm gentle, lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so I just want to ask you this morning, is there peace with, is there life from and rest in God in your life? Like, is your yoke, is it easy? Is your burden light? Because if not, maybe the wrong person's carrying the weight. Your mindset, it matters. And this is both a warning and an encouragement at the same time about the power of life and the power of death, whichever one you sit under, because neither one of those are going to stop until it brings you to its final goal, its final destination. So it's two groups, it's two mindsets, it's two directions. And Paul lastly says that they have two dispositions. Number one is implied from the last verse that in the spirit you have peace. And what we'll see in 7 and 8 is a contrast. Verse 7, for the mind that's set on the flesh, it's hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Have you ever been in a hostile environment before, or around a group of hostile people where they just oppose you or attack you really just because of who you are, or maybe what you stand for? It's not a welcoming sort of feeling, and it's a weird sort of tension that comes into the room, you know, if you've experienced that. Well, Pastor John Piper, he once told of this article that was written in this magazine by a lady named Stephanie. And Stephanie was writing in agreement with another lady named Elizabeth Ross. And at age 71, Elizabeth Ross, she changed her mind on God, and she wanted to tell the world about a good God who rules the world and answers prayer is really just a bunch of bull. And so Stephanie agreed with Elizabeth, and then she wrote these words. They'll be on the screen there. She pictured God as saying this: today I'm giving leukemia to 6 babies in Iowa, taking out 10,000 folks in Bangladesh in a typhoon, and raising the rate of prostate cancer in Australia 11%. Meanwhile, because they asked me so nicely, I'm dissolving a tumor in the brain of a woman in London, rerouting an 8.3 earthquake away from some volcanic islands in the Atlantic, and also letting the contestant from Sweden win Miss Universe. Good, infinite. It sounds more like the bean counter from hell. I mean, as I read that, can you just feel the hostility in those words? Now, you and I know from Scripture, if the Spirit has shown you at least, that sort of snide description about prayer, it's defective at best, because the Spirit has showed us through the Word of God that God is sovereign over all things, that He's sovereign over creation, He's sovereign over calamity, He's sovereign over every sickness, and we know that He doesn't just whimsically move without wisdom and justice and love. That's not God. And it's that fact, though, that those things are true of God. That's what Stephanie and Elizabeth and the rest of an unbelieving world have a problem with. That's what they hate the most, that they're not in control. See, every human being feels this way toward God when we're born into this world, apart from the subduing and humbling and enlightening spirit that comes to us. We are hostile to Him. We are set against Him. God leans into us and we lean away from Him. And the reason is because there's a conflict between a holy nature and a human nature going on. And our natural disposition is that we are hostile to Him. We don't submit to God because we can't. And ultimately, that means, church, that we are not pleasing to Him in the flesh. And if you've heard of this before, it's the whole building block for the basis of the doctrine of total depravity, or truth claim. That's what doctrine means. It's the truth claim of total depravity that says that we are all sinners by nature and choice, and that the fundamental problem in your life isn't something that exists outside of you, but the fundamental problem in your life is you. Because you've been born into sin, gathering Adam's sin from the garden, and you add to that sin by choice. It affects everything that you do in the flesh. Ephesians 4 says it like this: they're darkened in understanding, alienated because of the ignorance that's in them. This is talking about the Gentiles, but due to their hardness of heart. Your whole ability to understand God has a beta blocker. Your hard heart cannot understand what God wants to teach you. And this means that you are naturally disinterested in Him. You're not concerned with His name. You're not concerned with His kingdom. You're not concerned with His will or His word or His bride. That's the church. And this is the key. You don't because you can't. You don't because you can't. If you're in the flesh, your flesh has such a powerful grip on your soul that you can't submit to God. You just can't. And so sin for you is not just what you do. It is who you are. And so believers, let me say this really quickly to you, okay? We have to stop getting mad at unregenerate people for doing unregenerated things. To some degree, they just can't help it. And so instead of us getting mad, what we need to do is we need to get moved. We need to get moved to pity and to prayer for them, that God would come in and open up their eyes and to give them spiritual life and make them new. Notice Paul there, he doesn't say that the mindset on the flesh is at hostility with God. It's stronger language. He says that the mindset on the flesh is hostility to God. For the mind that's set on the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't submit. It can't. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. This is hatred. This is antagonism. This is disinterest and resistance. It is active rebellion against God's law, against God's love, against God himself. And Spurgeon, he put it this way, talking about this verse. He said, it's not black, but blackness. It's not enmity, but enmity itself. It's not corrupt, but corruption. It's not rebellious, it is rebellion. It's not wicked, it is wickedness itself. The heart, though it be deceitful, is positively deceit. It is evil in the concrete, sin in the essence. It is the distillation, the quintessence of all things that are vile. It is not envious against God. It is envy. It's not at enmity. It is actual enmity. And so if you're in the flesh this morning, what I need you to know is that your flesh, it can't be reformed. And it can't be trained up. And it can't be changed. Sort of the supernatural work of God the Holy Spirit in your life. And it is hostile to God. And you go, why is it hostile? Because the last thing that your flesh wants to do is be crucified and surrendered to Jesus Christ. And that's who I was. And that's who you were or are, depending on where you sit at this morning, apart from the Spirit. So to sum up, church, there are only two categories that you can exist in. Those who are in the Spirit and those who are in the flesh. And from those two groups, there's two mindsets. One is set on the flesh and one is set on the Spirit. And there are two directions in your life, only two dispositions. One is at war with God. One is at peace with God. And ultimately, it's going to result in two deaths. Well, only one of two, either eternal life with God or eternal death without him. Your mindset matters. And so I just want to ask you this morning, which group are you in?